It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. So apparently this program, The Truth with Sherwin Hughes, which airs live Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 12 noon Central Standard Time, is a place in which people can communicate their disagreements with other content they may hear across the very broad spectrum of 101.7 The Truth. Y'all know that I like Tory very much. I've known Tory for a long time. What you are witnessing with Tory Lowe, and I'm not speaking on his behalf, it's just as a broadcaster, which is relatively new. He's worked in media before, but as a broadcaster with your own show, you go through phases. And the first phase is usually very overwhelming, like, oh, snap, what the hell am I going to talk about? Then the next phase is, ooh, I got to book a whole bunch of guests so I can try and fill time. And then another phase is you start to understand your influence and you kind of march in your influence. And then ultimately you will turn political, even if it doesn't start out as that, it will ultimately turn political. Now, an election obviously helps a talk radio broadcaster become political, but you go through these phases, and Tory is political. Because when I first met him, Tory wasn't political. In fact, he hated all elected officials because he basically said the Democrats and Republicans don't do anything. He has since changed his tune. But that's just him going through phases, and that's very natural as a broadcaster. We find, I guess, whatever we can that allows us to carry a tune for however many hours that we are on there. Sometimes we rely very heavily on y'all, your comments, your questions, your phone calls. Sometimes we just talk about ourselves and all the stuff that we have done because we love just talking about ourselves sometimes. The phase I'm in now is I'm starting to get a little sick of it, y'all. I'm starting to look beyond the horizon here. I'm like, there's got to be more to life than this because it's just I'm not getting anywhere, really. But Tory, just like other broadcasters here, are going through phases. Like Carrie has made an incredible transition from when she started as someone with a tremendous amount of ideas and then my producer and then going on and having her own show. Right. So people are going through their own unique evolutions and Tory's doing that. And I don't even think that Tory and I on the politics show tomorrow, which is generating a lot of interest from you all. I don't even know if he and I are going to disagree all that much. He knows where I'm at. I know where he is at. I'm not going to challenge Tory. I'm not going to make him explain why he feels the way he does. Hell, Tory has a whole show for that. Who I probably will disagree with and which may cause me to walk out. Because if it gets heated, because I'm not going to argue with my colleagues. Because I've known them before we all had shows here. I've known them before really any of us were broadcasting. But I think I may get in the most disagreements with Dr. Ken. Because Dr. Ken is just, he is immobile in his beliefs. And that's the one that I'm more concerned about. Y'all think it's going to be me and Tory. No, I'm going to back off of Tory, and I got a feeling of Tory going to back off of me. He knows where I'm at. I know where he's at. No need in challenging him. But I'm worried about Dr. Ken, though. And his Chicago-ness, that's probably what the biggest source of contention is likely going to be. But apparently, on Friday, Tory got a little heated. I've done this once before, but I don't want to do it again. But y'all going to end up making me. I don't want to do it. Sometimes I go and I play bits and pieces of my colleague's show because I want to know what everybody is talking about. You said the last 35 minutes of Tory's show on Friday, he got very heated. I kind of want to hear Tory getting heated, but I want to hear it at the same time as y'all. But I probably shouldn't do that because that might be disrespectful. No, maybe it's not. Maybe if I play a little bit and piece of Tory getting heated the last 35 minutes of his show, it might actually bring more people to listen to him and to watch his YouTube broadcast and to download his podcast. Because I'm here to promote everybody here on 101.7 The Truth. I want people to listen to all the shows and get a different set of opinions. But I guess he got a little heated. You know what you're getting with Tory, though. You know what you're getting. You know where he is on the issues. And I don't listen to his show. I don't really listen to any shows. The only shows that I ever listen to is I may hear a little taste of DT and Telly in the morning, because when I get in my vehicle and I turn my vehicle on, the FM, my radio turns on right to 101.7 The Truth. So I may hear a little piece of DT and Telly, and that's where I can kind of get a tone and a sentiment of what is going on. Might have been a whole bunch of stuff that happened overnight. So DT and Telly, they kick off our lineup. So I might listen to a little taste of DT and Telly, but I don't listen for too long because I like to drive into work listening to music, you see. And then when I do my program and I get back into my vehicle, driving home or going to meetings or doing whatever Sherwin needs to do after 12 o'clock, 101.7 The Truth, of course, comes on again. And I may listen to Carrie and Benjamin on my way home or on my way to my next place that I need to go when I'm done with my show. Carrie and Ben are fantastic because it's not overtly political, even though Carrie getting a little more political, too. Now, you see, she's evolving as a host. She's starting to get a little political. I like that in her now. I done taught that gal well. She's evolving a little bit. But Ben and Carrie, they don't just have a show. They carry on. You know what I mean? Like, they have great opinions about stuff. And I think the two of them are absolutely hilarious together. So I may listen to them more than I listen to anybody else. But I don't listen in the afternoon. I don't get home, you know, in the evenings and say, oh, let me see what Liz and Tori are talking about. Like, oh, let me listen to Dr. Ken's show. No, I don't. I just don't do it. I don't need to. Because I'm probably more focused on other news, like national news and financial news. And I watch MSNBC and CNN and NBC News. So I'm probably consuming that instead of listening to my colleagues. Because I know a lot of what we do is just basically opinion. And I got my own opinions. I don't necessarily need to hear somebody else's. What I also worry about is if I hear a colleague's opinion that I fundamentally, wholeheartedly disagree with, I may be tempted to call one of their shows. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. I've done it on occasion. Just not a good idea. Stay in your own lane kind of thing, because I have my own show where I can discuss my opinions with you guys and you guys can share your opinions with me. I don't need to be infringing on somebody else's territory. Like, that's for y'all to do. You guys are supposed to be calling in other shows. And I typically don't like when hosts call each other unless they're agreeing with something. But if a host calling another host show just to disagree with them, bad idea. It's a word to the wise. You shouldn't disagree with a radio host on air, because eventually your phone call with them is going to end. And then they can take the rest of the time that they're on the air to just go in on you. It just doesn't really end well if you think that, like, you're going to call the host like, yeah, I'm going to really check them. Nah, it's not always the best idea. But I am a little curious as to what Tori was talking about. Al says, I'm going to ask Sherwin, can me and Liz do a debate? Sure, Al. I'm not going to have nothing to do with it. And I don't know where you would do it. Al, I've been saying for the longest, like, you need, Al, if you had a YouTube show, I'd watch every day. Because you can be uncensored on YouTube. Now, you probably won't get monetized, but I would listen, and Al, you'd have a show. And I'm sure if you invited guests on your show, they would come on. I would go on Al's show. So, Al, I've been telling you for the longest, you need to start a podcast. You need to have your own YouTube channel. And sure, Liz probably, maybe she'd come on with you. I don't know if she would, but I'd certainly listen to it. Because, Al, you bring up some very good points. I'm sure Liz brings up points, too. I've known Liz for a very long time as well. Liz is a very, very nice lady. Liz is very passionate. She has a lot of passion. She's fiery. You know, that's what I know, how I know Liz to be. And I met her a long time ago as well. When I met Liz, she wasn't particularly political, but Liz is getting a little bit more political as well. You maybe saw her at a couple of different events and a couple of press conferences because she was involved with the MPS school board recall. She was getting political too. Fair enough. I love it when our people get involved. I think it's wonderful. Am I going to challenge Liz's views and beliefs? No, because I'm not going to change her mind. Not at all. Not going to do that. All right. The flood of social media memes has helped Kamala Harris enjoy an extended honeymoon period as she establishes herself in the abbreviated presidential campaign, but also perhaps presents a challenge how to turn youthful enthusiasm into marked ballots on November 5th. Turnout among younger voters hit a record high in 2020, but still only crested at 50%, far behind the typical turnout seen among older voters. Kamala Harris so far has performed much worse among those who have traditionally been more likely to vote. Meanwhile, Harris's historic candidacy faces other potential hurdles. Three quarters or 74% say it is harder for a woman to be elected to high political office, despite the most common view being, quote, there is no difference between genders when it comes to doing a competent job in office at 59%. Why is it harder for a woman to get elected? Maybe this is a rhetorical question, but I just want to know. Because women do a lot of things in American society. Women, what do women do? Women are lawyers and doctors. They're first ladies sometimes. What else do women do? Women are police. Women fight fires. Not a lot. Not many. There's a few women firefighters. Women do all this stuff. Women raise kids. They have kids. What else? Women do a lot of stuff. They drive cars, buses. Women go to school. Women teach school. Women probably change light bulbs. They don't pump gas, though, which not really. Not if there's a man around. Women cut grass. Women do all the things. So why can't a woman be president? Do we think that she won't be good at it? I personally think women would be fantastic at stuff. So it doesn't bother me none. Maybe it's just misogyny. And most men, here's the thing about men. If you ask a man if a woman could be president, he'll say absolutely yes, but won't vote for one. You also can ask a man if he's a chauvinist or misogynistic or if he has toxic masculinity. Of course he'll say no, knowing damn well that he is. You can also ask a white person if they're racist, and they'll probably still say no. And then they'll rattle off a number of either things they like about black people, a hip-hop song that they know the words to by heart, or their black friends. If you ask a man, does he think that women are qualified to do jobs that men do? He'll talk about how much he loves women and everything should be fair for women. And he's got a bunch of women in his life that he loves. He might say, I'm a father. I've got a daughter. I've got a wife. I love those women, but hates essentially every other woman. So I'm still curious about that. A lot of men, even some women probably think that women can't be president. And when I hear that, and I hear that more often than I like to, that's problematic because it sounds like it's more credible. When a woman gives reasons why she doesn't feel like a woman can be president, why she would never vote for a woman, I can't challenge that because that is that woman's opinion on her gender in which she has a tremendous amount of experience, right? Just like when black people challenge some of the things that other black people do, it's credible. Sherman just called a little while ago and talked about black folks not taking responsibility for things that we have under our control. And a bunch of y'all agreed with him because when you are of that subgroup, when you are of that race or of that gender, and you talk in facts about what that subgroup and what that gender is deficient at, you're credible. So when women say, hey, here are the reasons why I would never vote for a woman, I'm like, oh boy. Because that's way more credible than why a man wouldn't vote for a woman. If a white person says, yeah, I'd never vote for a black person, we can dismiss that as racism. But if a black person says, here is why I won't vote for a black person, it's oftentimes much more credible. So I try not to bring up the conversation with women because y'all need to know that not all women are supporting Kamala Harris. Not all black women are supporting Kamala Harris. In fact, per some stuff that I read, it must have been last week or the week before, of the unregistered and unwilling, there was a survey done on people who are unregistered to vote and are unwilling to even register to vote that are African-American. Black women are the highest percentage of unregistered and will never register to vote because more than black men, black women believe that there are so many other ways in which they can be involved in community and help community other than voting. Black men, by like a 10% margin, think that voting is a part of the repertoire of things that we can do to help community. But I found that really, really interesting that black women sometimes are the most resistant to voting, registering to voting, and are more committed to never registering to vote ever than are black men. I think it also shows that black men can be much more impressionable about what we can do to better improve society's outcomes. Overall, this appears to be a campaign of hope on both sides. 7 in 10, or 71%, current supporters of Kamala Harris say the potential of her winning in November makes them, quote, hopeful. A majority, or 63%, of Trump supporters say the same of a possible Trump second term. Meanwhile, both sides regard the opposition candidate winning with worry. Harris supporters at 47%, Trump supporters at 57%, and fear Harris supporters at 45%, Trump supporters at 38%. All right, take a break, come back. What is this here? Oh, Trump trying to weasel his way out of the debate. Which makes sense because he doesn't need to debate Kamala Harris, because if he does, he's going to lose. But if he does lose the debate, I don't think it's going to impact his vote total, because his vote total is pretty much fixed. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be back shortly.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Friday, August 30th, the last Beyond the Mic, maybe ever. We may not be doing them ever again, so you better come. It's going to be at Mr. B's Lounge, 8617. West Brown Deer Road. There's going to be cocktails, and Mr. B's got good food. Great conversations. Miss Shaq is going to be there celebrating her birthday. Miss Shaq is probably going to wear some hot pants and tassels on her nipples. I don't know what she's going to wear. I never know what Miss Shaq is going to wear, but it's her birthday. Be careful of her. So if you want to see tasseled nipples, we'll see you on Friday from 5 until 7 p.m. at Mr. B's Lounge, located at 8617 West Brown Deer Road. August is Black Business Month, and the award-winning 101.7 The Truth is teaming up with Associated Bank to celebrate the excellence of Black-owned businesses. Carrie will be hosting a Black Business Spotlight show today from 6 until 7. She will spotlight three Black businesses and tell the stories of their success. Whatever your financial needs are, Associated Bank can help. Member FDIC. Tomorrow's a politics show. Me, Telly, Bailey, Dr. Ken, and Tori. Gonna be, I don't know what's gonna happen. Maybe we just entertain questions from y'all. Maybe if we just are focused on what you guys want to talk about or what questions you may have, that might be better. Because if we just talk amongst ourselves, it might be a disaster. But if it gets to a point, because nobody can really talk about politics, especially if you put people in the same room with big old egos that all have their own shows and ask us to talk about the issues, and may delve into something painful to listen to. And I'll walk out first. I will walk out before I get into an argument with one of my colleagues, because I have my thoughts and sentiments and they have theirs. I ain't gonna argue with nobody. I ain't trying to do all that mess. All right. Let's see. Let's talk to Miss Rose. Miss Rose, you're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I just didn't understand about this round table. And plus, it's on my birthday, and I don't go out that late at night to play, so I have to go when I can come when I go. As
wait,
a
when's piece. Your birthday? Miss Rose, wait, when is your birthday?
Friday.
Oh, you better come on out, Miss Rose, to
no,
be on the
I
mic.
I can't come out because where it's located that late at night, I do not travel. I like to come and go as I please and not depend upon anybody else to pick me up, take me, drop me off.
Miss Rose, you've been to every other Beyond the Mic that we have had. They've all been the same time.
Not so. In an area where they have a transportation problem with me, and the way the buses purposely do not come on time to try to mess with me. You don't know what's really happening by me trying to help the community, what they're doing to me to keep my mouth shut. When it comes to transportation, they have a lot to do with messing up, trying to control where I go, how I go, and when I go. See, there's a bigger problem. I don't tell too many people, but I'm getting sick and tired of keeping it to myself. So I just decided where I can control it, I'm going to be involved. But where I can't control it, because they always try to tell the rain so that I sometimes have to wait a whole hour for a bus, and three buses go whichever way I'm not going. So this is an accidental, and I've had people who have witnessed some of these things.
Ms. Rose, so, I guarantee you, Ms. Rose, I could find 50 people easily that would gladly pick you up and take you wherever you want to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But I understand why you may not want to burden somebody. But if you want to come on Friday, I will arrange for your transportation personally. There's a whole bunch of folks. They'll take you in a black Cadillac, too, if you want to be in a black Cadillac.
No, I've had offers from people, but I like my control myself because, you see, people can also be sidetracked as well. This way, I've got control of it. I know more about what's happening sometimes than I let know, and because I know a lot of people think I'm what you call it, when they think paranoid and everything. They don't know what I go through, and I don't usually share it. But when it comes to something like this, I would like to be a part of it, but when it comes to, I don't like this area anyway because I know too much going on in that area. And I know it's easier to deal with me in that area. And at that time of night, I will not depend on other things. I like my freedom. That's one thing why I like to get and go where. But I'm going to let you know why I won't be there. I would love to, but I didn't know what was the meeting all about. Are you going to, what is this, a debate about or something, to share something? I thought it was going to be on the radio. I didn't know it was going to be in person type thing. And see, that's what I have a problem
with.
Well,
hell, you've been to three of them.
Yeah, because they were in an area that I could, they were in an area I could control. When we get to Brown Deer area, and when we get to the, there are already problems out there.
What's wrong?
With the time limit.
What kind
when it comes
problems?
To transportation, we're talking about. I'm just talking about transportation.
Oh, fair enough. All right, fair enough.
I know, I got people that do a lot.
Ms. Rose, do you have another comment you want to share other than why you're not coming to Beyond the Mic on Friday? Anything else?
I want to know what is going to be discussed. What is the basis for that together to do what?
The basis of discussion for Beyond the Mic?
For having this gathering, like, because I said you're going to have all the people on the truth there, and is it like a forum or something?
Well, here, let me ask you. And the other three events we've had, what did you think the discussion in the format was like? Just from your experience of going to literally all of them. It's not going to be different than what you've experienced at the other ones other than the location.
Well, see, that's what I felt. Because, see, I was looking for more of an interaction with everybody. But, you see, this is not the same thing.
Ms. Rose, we're drinking. The interactions will be there. Everybody's drinking. Even you, I think, had a drink or two, Ms. Rose.
Oh, I did. I know, I've seen you
drinking some sassafras.
I'm not going to stop enjoying wine. And I'd love to share a lot of stuff. But here's what I'm looking at. I don't know what the basis. What is it that you want to accomplish by
let me explain to you. Ms. Rose, because if you don't know after the being in three of them, let me explain to you. So we want to get the hosts and the producers of the different shows here at 101.7 The Truth in a laid-back, casual environment where we get to mix and mingle and have conversations with the people that listen to us because we love our audience very much. We also want to support a different black-owned business, bar, restaurant, etc., because a lot of people that listen to our shows don't know where to go, and they really do want to support black-owned businesses and black-owned restaurants so we can showcase and support black-owned businesses and get everybody together in a social environment and discuss whatever. That's it. There's no big agenda here.
That's cool. Most of the places in which I've been there already, so I know about that. But see, there's too many people back there to have a close-to-one-on-one exchange of thought processes. See, this is why it's good for people who don't are involved. But because I am involved, half the stuff that's going to be talking about, I've been involved in already.
Ms. Rose, but that is a way in which people that don't want to discuss all the political issues and don't want to get into all that political stuff can just hang out and talk about literally anything and everything else. Because we are getting together once a month does not mean it's going to be continuing. Why are we having an argument about this? So we won't see you on Friday. We'll miss you very much. I got to go, though. Got to go right now.
Okay, dear.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but I won't be there.
Oh, have a blessed day. We're going to miss you. All right. The woman has been to all of them, and now all of a sudden she doesn't know what they are. Now I'm yelling. I sound like Tori Lowe. Seriously, you got, what is... Rodney says, we have some stupid black men with women issues. I had a conversation with two dummies this weekend spouting about not voting for Kamala Harris because of her past as a prosecutor. The other guy is just as bad. Part of the reason they're not interested in her is because their own past issues with prosecutors. Dion asked me if I know the history of hush puppies. Yes, runaway slaves would throw balls of cornbread to the dogs that were chasing the slaves, and the dogs would say, cornbread, and they would eat it because it would get the puppies to hush. Hush puppies. Chauncey says, hey, your last caller made great sense. Well done. To the mother freaking point. Raw urban style, talking about Sherman that called in earlier. Stacy says, morning, Sherwin. Last caller was one of the realest and knowledgeable I've heard on his show, referring to Sherman when he called, saying that black people need to be much more responsible for their own actions and behavior instead of waiting for a political party. Chauncey says, the truth with Sherwin Hughes just got the truth from Sherman. LT says, straight up jealousy is the only reason why some of you don't like Kamala. Successful black woman, married without, who doesn't have a house full of kids, married to a white man. Same reason why people don't like Meghan Markle. Merkel. No excuses. It can be a reflection on them and their own lives, so they project on her. Chauncey says, you were tremendously punctual in stating and very strategical in outlining the factual flip side of the misconception / confirmation biases that so many utterly naive folk have regarding what VP Harris did within both her scope of duties and discretionary measures as a state prosecutor. Something else I've heard a lot of, I'm going to say this, I'm going to take a little break, is when Kamala Harris talks about what she would like to do as president, and people say stuff like, "How she's in office now. How come she didn't do that?" Whenever I hear that, you're going to hear that a lot. It's going to be coming from Republicans because they have no idea what a vice president does. A vice president doesn't make policy. Vice president basically does like three things. Wait for the president to die, or if the president is incapacitated for whatever reason, they take over official duty. That's number one. Number two, they are presidents of the U.S. Senate, where Kamala Harris has cast 33 deciding votes, which means 33 separate pieces of legislation have been passed because of her. But she doesn't make policy. And the third thing is she can be like a diplomat. She can go travel to a country and be like, oh, Joe Biden sends his best. Hi, I'm here representing the United States. I'm the vice president. I'm over here talking to your leaders. That's really it. That's what a vice president does. They don't make policy. I can't believe that there's people that are 40 and 50 and 60 years old. They're like, oh, Kamala Harris is in office right now. How come she didn't lower prices? Because she can't. Vice presidents can't lower prices. And even if Biden has an idea of what he wants to, let's say he wants to make housing more affordable, he still has to work with Congress. Congress makes policy. Congress funds everything. Presidents just have suggestions of what they would like to do, what they would like to see. Now, presidents can apply pressure. They can use executive orders. But even executive orders can be upended by an act of Congress. So presidents can't do everything that you think that they can do. But I thought that you guys would know that because you're all policy experts. All right, take a break. Come back. We need to talk about why Trump doesn't want to debate Kamala Harris. No, we don't need to talk about that. What is this here? No, I read that already. We'll come back and talk to the caller. Why don't we do that? 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017 is a phone number. You can call it. You can text it. Whatever. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It's The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I don't know, Vanessa. It might be the last Beyond the Mic ever. There's, I can't tell you. You know, we're evolving here at The Truth, and we're doing our level best to bring you the best, most useful content we possibly can. But every now and again, things change and they evolve. So I don't know if we're going to do Beyond the Mic. Well, we may not do them officially sponsored by 101.7 The Truth. Antoine Perkins said he's going to be the official drink sponsor of this very potentially last Beyond the Mic ever. So thank you, Antoine, of PWD Computers. You want a computer from a black-owned, black business? He's on 39th and Valit. Got a nice building. Go in there and get you a laptop or a tablet or a computer. Go get you one because he's black and he's been sponsoring our drinks. Thank you, Antoine. Appreciate you very much. Vanessa said that she wishes she could drop Miss Rose off at home, but Vanessa's going to be full of that liquor. It's not that you guys can't have political discussions at Beyond the Mic. You can talk about whatever the hell you want to talk about. Some of you do have political discussions. Some of you don't want to talk about politics at all. That's the point. We get together. We chat. Some of y'all drink. Some of y'all drink too much. Everyone, you don't have to buy me a drink every time you see me. Thank you. Last time I left Beyond the Mic, I couldn't feel my feet. I didn't know if I had feet anymore because, oh, Sherwin, let me get you a drink. Sherwin, you want to do a shot? So you don't got to do all that. So it's this Friday. It might be the last one. I mean, I can continue to do them. I can say, hey, everybody, next summer we're going to get together at XYZ, A, B, and C. It just doesn't necessarily have to be a radio station sponsored event because there's a lot that goes into it. It takes a lot of staff. We got to do a lot of setting up. You know, we give away prizes and the gifts, and we got to make sure that we have the prizes and the gift certificates and all of the things. Curly Q, you're right. There should be a prize for people that have perfect attendance at Beyond the Mic. Curly, do you have a Truth t-shirt? You should. Everybody else got one. I see Truth t-shirts all over the place. Hell, I got like four of them myself. So we'll get you, hopefully, maybe, get you a Truth t-shirt. All right, let's talk to the caller. You are on 101.7 FM, The Truth, with Sherwin Hughes. How are you?
Fantastic. It feels like Atlanta, Georgia, out here today. So I've curtailed the cardio. It's going to be a golf day today. Still getting some walking in. And in a couple of days when it cools off, I'll be back to the other activities that I hope that you indulged in this weekend. But I digress. With regards to vice presidents, outside of Dick Cheney, who was vice president, I believe, when the two towers imploded themselves, quote unquote.
Yes.
You know, yeah. There's never been a vice president who wielded a lot of power. I think that was because George Bush didn't really care to be president. I think at one point his brother was the one being groomed to be president, and somehow he wound up in that space. But I actually ran into an individual who was doing exactly that, which came on the tails of the saying that Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, was not black. Once they threw that against the wall and that didn't work, then you had to pretend, if you're a MAGA Republican, you had to pretend that she was actually president and had more power than she had. It made me come up with a thought that I then have what I call a poll test for MAGA and people who are Republican who wind up in my space. Because sometimes I don't know that they're that until they open their mouth and say something stupid. And so just a simple question, what are the three branches of government? That is the solution for Truth Nation. If someone can't tell you what the three branches of government is on a federal, local, and state level, they are not worth the oxygen that it takes to talk to them. And you can utilize that to make them look as dumb as they are. And I actually experienced that on last Thursday, where I told this individual, I have some homework for you, because you can't even teach your children about politics if you know nothing about politics, or if you're willing to lie like the other guy who calls himself Al, not our Truth Nation brother, who called in this morning and said that Democrats, which, you know, we know prior to 1964, the people who are now MAGA Republicans were Democrats, right, Professor Hughes?
That's a fair analogy.
pretty much. So he made a point on Denise and Telly's show that I want everybody, if they were listening today, I didn't get a chance to call in and rebut that. All of those people who are members of the Daughters of Confederacy and the supporters of building monuments to Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis, once we got voting rights, they no longer wanted to be Democrats because a Democrat, Lyndon Baines Johnson, signed the legislation.
Correct.
Am I correct in that answer?
100% correct. So those Southern Dixiecrats went to the Republican Party when Democrats started voting and supporting voting rights and fair housing for black people. But if somebody thinks that that is the current Democratic Party, then they know so little about American history, they probably don't know much more than George Washington was the first president. That means they got a huge blind spot in history.
But that's why I think we should make sure we refer to that individual as the other Al, not the real Al. There's a real Al, and then a guy who lives in fantasy land or on the planet Lovetron, where Daryl Dawkins once said he's from. So I don't know where he's from, but he's not aware of that or thinks that Truth Nation doesn't have knowledgeable people like the caller, you know, will call in and fact check you, and even you. I actually am looking forward to Wednesday, and I feel like Bundini Brown. I want to every day call you and say, on Wednesday,
what's
Rumble,
Wednesday?
Young man, Rumble. Ain't that the day that all four of y'all getting on you and Tori? And
no, tomorrow. Tomorrow from 6 until 8.
Tomorrow. Oh, well, I have even more sense of urgency. I actually feel like today, you know, like, even though I know you don't like doing a lot of cardio, like, I see that picture of Muhammad Ali early in the morning before day doing road work. So verbally, that's what I feel like you're doing to get ready, because I think you can out-debate all of the people who support the other side that happen to work for the station.
That's why I don't want to debate them. I'd rather have it be a discussion, but I don't even know how we can have a discussion without it turning into a debate, because Dr. Ken is ornery.
Are you guys going to allow people to call in?
I hope y'all do.
I mean, if we're allowed, I'll definitely call in and probably quote Jamie Foxx's character. That was another one that I think he, you know, on another side point, that I think he totally captured the essence of that human being.
But look, and I got to say this while you're on the phone, the caller, for everybody else who's listening, don't call in and try and get us to argue with one another. Like, don't, oh, yeah, well, Sherwin, you should tell Tori. Like, don't do that. If you guys have, like, actual questions.
I didn't tell you to argue. I'm just hoping that you're able to relay facts over fiction. And that's what some of our people we love even do that. I have people who I'm very close to who support or are willing to sit out because they say they have no choice when there's a clear, obvious choice. And, you know, it's great that that's their right, but it's also our right to present the facts and present them in clarity like I know you will tomorrow.
I might not say anything tomorrow. I might just be here just observing. I might just be in here chilling.
And let them say what they're going to say.
Yeah. And I just nod along with them. Me and Bailey just going to nod along.
I'm going to tune in and see how long you can do that without your head exploding.
I'm fine. I'll be okay. I mean, me and Bailey just going to be hanging out.
Yeah. Well, again, from the caller, Rumble, young man, Rumble.
Thank you. Now, go do some cardio.
Enjoy your day.
Okay, then.
No, not today. Golf.
Okay, golf today.
Take it easy.
All right, you too. Okay. All right. Goodbye now. Well, you hang up.
All right, bro.
Okay, then. I'll see you later. All right, now. Okay, then. I'm not arguing with them people tomorrow. I'm not. You know what the worst one is? I've been on Dr. Ken's show a couple times. I don't know if he still does them. I think he still does them. These roundtable shows where he invites people and we just talk about issues from different perspectives. I don't do those no more. I used to do those. I don't do those. The biggest disagreement I've ever got into with Dr. Ken, and there have been many over the years. I've known Dr. Ken since like 2005. I've known him for a very long time. Before he was even Dr. Ken, he just used to be Ken. Climate change. We got into it. I shouldn't even say we got into it. Why am I over here talking about Dr. Ken? I hate when I do that. Sometimes, I'm not even referring to Dr. Ken specifically, but sometimes if if people don't understand something, their first reaction is to just discredit it and not believe it. Because if you don't understand something, you can just say, oh, that's fake. Oh, that's not real. Oh, that's not what the truth is. Instead of saying, oh, I really don't understand how that works. And so he and I got into it. And I don't even talk about climate change like that. It's not even the issue that I focus on. I probably should, because it's impacting everybody. But I don't really talk about it. But that was the one thing where I think I actually got up and left. I did Dr. Ken's show drunk once. You guys know that? I didn't plan on it. I was having social time here at the Third Street Market Hall. And I was given a tour. I told y'all this story before. I had a drink literally in my hand. I'm walking around with some of my friends that hadn't been here since it became the Third Street Market Hall. My friends that I was hanging out with socially for happy hour. Last time they had been here, it was literally the Grand Avenue Mall. So I met up with my friends. They bought me some drinks. I bought them some drinks right back. And I took them over to where our broadcast studios are, because, you know, we got these big old glass windows. I had a drink in my damn hand. And Dr. Ken kept waving me in. Come on in, Sherwin. Come on in. Come on. I'm pointing to my drink. I'm like, I'm drinking. I can't come in. Come on in, Sherwin. And I came in, all right. And I sipping my drink while I was in studio with him. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Linda says, Truth Nation, we can't end beyond the mic. It's the best social event in Milwaukee. It should literally grow and expand. Jeez, always got to end something good in the city. I'm not saying it's over. I just don't know what the future of it is. But we can get together whenever the hell we want to. B. Brews says, bottom line, Kamala, I'm assuming that's supposed to say black man teammate. But salute to her womanhood, though. I couldn't care less. It's not a lot of good black men that she even had to choose from. Black men, be honest with yourselves. Let's be honest with ourselves for a moment. You wouldn't marry you either. You wouldn't. So why should she or anyone like her? Marriage has to be hard because of its failure rate. So if her and Doug Emhoff, and he seems to be a very supportive partner who's very secure because he gets up there and sings the praises of his very strong, independent, and powerful, successful wife. Most men wouldn't do that. Most men have very fragile egos. You don't want your woman taking the shine from you. I'm happy for her. I could care less. There's not that many good black men out there. There's a few, not a lot. Probably more white guys. And don't bother me none. Curly Q says, it'll be interesting because it won't be anyone's particular show, so there won't even be a this is my show type of thing. Do people say that? Do hosts say, oh, this is my show? I don't say that. Dr. Ken is the poster boy for the devil's advocate. Yeah, he does. He likes to provide an alternative point of view, I suppose, to argue for argument's sake. In fact, Dr. Ken has a promo that's running on 101.7 The Truth where you stupid people from the suburbs, and the lady's like, you're calling me stupid? No, but people just like you who are just perfectly your twin are stupid. That's what he does. That's his thing. You know what you're getting when you listen to the Dr. Ken. He plays the devil's advocate. He flips the script on you. I don't necessarily do that. I have my own, set of standards for my radio show. B. Bruce says, LOL, got a point. Y'all new black dudes want to be feminine with black chick attitudes. Of course. Of course. A lot, I'm not going to say all, but most black men, there's a word, a phrase, but I can't say it on the air because it's derogatory, but I don't even know how to clean the phrase up, so I'm not going to say it at all. When black men are raised by women, mama, grandmama, auntie, and they always end up having like seven sisters, they don't have any emotional regulation. And when men don't have any emotional regulation, like women can have dysregulated emotions because we just, fine, we let them. We don't try to like be logical with a woman's emotions. But when a man doesn't have any emotional regulation, it turns women off. That's the other thing. Here's what I never understood, though. A lot of women, not even just black women, but a lot of women are raising boys and those boys turn into men. But for some reason, women who are raising boys, sometimes y'all got a house full of boys. Some of them are in their 30s. Women don't teach, show, guide, and instruct their sons on how to treat women. They don't. I never understood this. A woman will raise a house full of boys, and these boys don't know how to treat women, talk to women, don't know how to date. They don't know how to do any of that. But like, dude, you were raised by a woman. Well, and I'm not like pinning this on any one particular woman, any one race of woman. But all the information I ever got about women came from either my father, my friends, or what I saw on TV. Not my mama. And she, you would think, mamas know the most about women because, depending upon which party's definition, mamas are women. Fellas, have you ever been sat down by your mama when you were age appropriate? Like, hey, son, you're going to be dating one day. Here's how you treat a woman. Here's how you approach her. Here's how you talk to her. Here's what you need to be mindful of. Has any of that ever happened? Do mamas ever tell their sons, teach their sons, show their sons, instruct their sons on the ways of women? How to please a woman? How to make a woman happy? Hell no, they don't. And men are not really the best because we learn about women through trial and error. And maybe porn. I don't know. I'm not sure how men learn. Whatever you learn, however you learn, that's up to you. And I suppose women that I've dated, my high school girlfriend taught me a lot. A lot. In fact, she probably taught me too much. Like, she taught me about the subtleties of women. She and I would go out all the time. We'd go out to dinner and go all sorts of places. And say, oh, my God, Sherwin. Oh, my God. That girl over there is flirting with you. I'm like, where? Look at her. She's laughing extra loud. She's trying to get your attention. She just dropped something and bent over in front of you. I was like, you don't say. And look at this broad over here. Which broad? The one that's playing with her hair and exposing her neck and her wrist. Really? You don't say. I took notes. Women are very subtle. With men, you got to hit us over the head sometimes. We don't know when women are flirting. We're dumb. But if you can pay attention to the subtleties that women are so very good at, but women don't often tell men about the subtleties. All right, that's enough. Have a great day. I'll see you next time.